that. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope, so no overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody, how's it going? This is DB. I am filling in for Nick. Nick's taking the night off tonight. Tonight's going to be a pretty special show we got going on. Trying to work through some technical difficulties here while I try to get my guests on the line. We're going to be basically going over how to open up first the California primaries with only about 6 days left. We need to put big pressure on. And we're also going to be talking about how what would happen in California could potentially, you know, affect and shape what's going on throughout our entire country and change our political process. Usually me and Nick tonight will we'll talk about basically things going on with, you know, what's going wrong with the world, kind of, and explain how, you know, we have some different theories and philosophies about how we're going to try to affect change. But the truth and the reality of the world we live in today is that we have to have a president. We're going to have a government, at least for the foreseeable future. You know, we're going to talk about how we can possibly transition into other forms of representation or possibly just self-governance eventually. But we have to get there first. That's the thing. People need to allow that to happen. It's going to happen organically. We can try to press it if we want to, but ultimately we're going to have to work there together to get there. And we're going to have to build a consensus of some sort. That's just the truth of the matter. I'm going to hopefully have some call-ins coming in soon here from people that are going to, you know, talk about what's going on with OpenThePrimary.org, www.OpenThePrimary.org. Thing we're going to be doing, let me see here. Hold on just a sec. And we should be getting some call-ins. All right, let's see here. And do I have Open the Primary on with me?
No, not yet.
No? Okay, hold on just a second. I don't know. Okay, hold on just a second. We're going to be right back. And it looks like we're back on. Hopefully, we should be able to take calls now after calling back in. That should be something we can do now. Let me make sure here. Do a quick test. I'm not seeing any calls. Try calling back in one more time. I don't hear anything. Nope. All right, everyone, we're back. We're working on getting our caller to be able to call in. Looks like we've been having some technical difficulties, and that's going to be patched through here soon. And here we are.
Hello, GD. Am I with you?
Yes, you are with me. We are experiencing some definite echo, so let's work on getting that kind of out of the picture.
All right, is that better?
Let's check it out. Yes, appears the echo's gone now. That's good. So we are talking with L. Deeds, who wrote an article for Open the Primary. We're still getting that echo. I'm not sure what from.
And meanwhile, I can't hear you. Not on the headset.
Okay, well, let's just go. Let's work our way through it somehow.
All right.
So we're talking about opening the California primary. Can you tell us a little bit more about what is the movement you're trying to create, what's behind it, and what some about what the article is about on Mint Press News?
Gladly. Our belief is that what's been missing in this wave of strategic voter suppression is the proactive, preemptive, and unified voice of the people. We've seen numerous lawsuits and legal challenges filed. We have not heard about a lot of success. And what they have in common is typically is that they've been filed after the fact. What we're attempting to do is to engage the voters to defend voting rights in California by calling on Secretary of State Alex Padilla to effectively open the primary by taking three specific steps. The article was a review of, let's say, the last 16 years of systematic voter suppression in the state of California as enacted by the state Democratic Party and the California legislature at different times. 2000 struck a really strong blow against the voting rights of Californians, and it's been a decline since.
Perfect. And what exactly are we looking at as far as for people that are trying to vote that don't have an affiliation with a political party, because that's part of the big squeeze out going on?
Right. You're referring to the no party preference voters. We've heard them talked about, but we don't often hear about how many there are. Secretary of State Padilla released a registration report in February, which reported their numbers at being over 4 million through January of this year. We can only assume that more registered since that report came out, but I don't know the exact number because he hasn't updated the data on his site. So when we're talking about no party preference, what we're saying is that because you have not affiliated yourself, voter from California, with one of the primary parties, they call them qualified, specifically Democrat, Republican, Green, etc., because you're not part of our group, we are denying you a choice for candidacy for the presidency on your ballot. It's the most blatant voter suppression you can possibly imagine, but then they create the illusion of choice by giving the voters these loopholes, these hoops to jump through, i.e., you can re-register by May 23rd. Well, that's passed. How many took advantage? What I saw reported was about 30,000. Their next option is to vote early, which goes away tomorrow. Their next option is to request a, quote, qualified party ballot on the day, June 7th. However, I think we can safely assume there will not be over 4 million spare Democratic ballots made available on June 7th.
And have there been similar, basically similar activities undertaken to reduce the amount of polling stations? I mean, because if that's going to be happening with this rush of new voters, along with basically, they're not going to have anywhere near 4 million of those ballots. What do you expect to happen as far as the suppression goes in California?
Well, I can't speak specifically to polling places being closed. I think I saw one article referring to it, but I don't know the numbers and I don't know the facts. What I can say is that what will happen, I imagine, on June 7th will be something along these lines. May I have a Democratic ballot? Oh, we're out. What probably will occur next will be something we've seen reported in recent days by poll workers who have been mistrained in California. They'll be given a provisional ballot, which is not going to be counted. B, they'll be told there isn't another ballot for them, so I assume many will be writing in their choice. The challenge there that we have to overcome is the cooperation between two election codes in that state. They're designed to work together to disempower the write in vote.
And can you please elaborate a bit on what those two codes are and what they do?
Gladly. First of all, there's election codes 8600. And I refer to one number, but there's more than one piece to that. The operative part, suppressing part, is simply this. A candidate deadline was put in place. It was May 17th. If the candidate didn't apply for write-in status by that date, the state of California intends to disempower, disenfranchise, and negate the First Amendment rights of millions of voters who might want to choose that candidate, but because the candidate didn't meet that deadline, sorry, everyone. The second election code is designed to work with the first. It's number 15342. It contradicts itself pretty thoroughly. It's a big wall of words. It's linked on our site. What it says is, first of all, if you write in a reasonable facsimile of your candidate's name, we got you, we understand English, or whatever your language may be. If it goes on to say, unless the candidate didn't meet the deadline, in which case, sorry, or if you manage to write in a candidate who did meet the deadline, you better write it in the right place, because where you write it is more important than what you write.
And that's just ridiculous. And these are some of the things, some of the laws and stipulations they're passing that's, you know, it's working hand in hand to just disenfranchise, disempower people, especially the poor, especially the people who have no idea what's going on. I mean, you can see it every day where people are keen to vote for political leaders that are very, very much so against their own interests. And it all plays hand in hand. It's the complete, you know, ignorance of the voting populace. They just don't understand what's being taken place and what's happening to them.
Well, this is something that's quoted in the article. Say what you will about the end of Gore Vidal's career. He was certainly a firebrand and an insider who wasn't afraid. At some point, he said, "We are the United States of amnesia. We learn nothing because we remember nothing." And it's easy to understand. These elections come along every 4 years. People grow up. They vote for the first time. How should they know that, for example, California had an open primary last time? What we're trying to do is to empower voters with simple access to that information and a simple approach. There is no guarantee it will work, but our belief is that if enough voters unify their voices, targeting Secretary Padilla, the ultimate elections official in that state, and ask him, in plain language, be a hero for democracy. Something has to change. Our hope is that he's a reasonable man who went into public service for a very good reason initially. Our hope is that he'll respond. Adjacent to that, of course, is the fact that he's campaigning now to keep his job in 2018. It's worth mentioning that hopefully people will remember this time what happened.
I really do hope so. I mean, the fact...
Did I lose you, DB? Do we have an interruption in programming?
I believe so.
I can't hear what you hear.
Looks like we're getting... It looks like we're getting some overlay right now. It seems like an entire sequence just repeated itself thanks to the dark webs of... Huh. Interesting what's going on. Well... You never know how we're getting messed with. I guess what we can kind of...
Should I call back in? Tell me what I can do to help. All right, I'll call back in. Since I can't hear any callers, maybe this is a good time to grab some calls, get some questions.
Sure.
Thank you. I'll hang up now. Call back.
Are they replaying what we just said?
Well, if you could take some calls, I can field them even though I can't hear them, if you repeat them. According to this, I'm on the line with you.
All right, let's try this again here. I think what that was going on is we're having a full overlay, so we had a conversation repeat after we already spoke, which was kind of interesting. But we can take some calls now. Hopefully, we're not going to get any more of these really strange glitches. The number is area code 718-717-8296. Again, area code 718-717-8296. If anybody wants to talk with Ed Eads, who wrote an article on press news.com. Voting is a right that Californians are giving up without a fight. Talking about the voter suppression issue going on, not only in California, it went on in New York too. I mean, we can talk all day about how it went on in New York, and it probably carried over for Clinton with all the voting machine issues going on.
Well, certainly New York has been one of the many stunning examples in this election of how blatant the rigging is. There simply isn't another way to put it. Open the primaries had a few changes of strategy, reacting in real time to what's been happening, notably New York, notably Nevada. Of course, they're all notable. Arizona, Illinois, two of the lesser reported states where fraud has been alleged. Again, we've come to the conclusion that perhaps what will work will be not us going through the system that has the rules that are changed, asking a judge who works for the government that wants to hold us away from our democracy. Excuse me. There's an incredible echo on the line, DB. Can you help me with that?
Caller from 573, do you have your audio on? Could you mute it?
Of course, they're all notable. Arizona. Was that to me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, whoever the caller is from 573 area code, can you please mute your speakers? We're getting tremendous feedback.
What will work? I'm still here, but I'm not sure what just happened. Did we miss a caller?
We do have, I believe, a caller on the line. It's possible.
Great.
I do not understand what's going on. We have probably double feedback going on at all times.
Fortunately, we're saying things worth hearing twice. Look on the bright side. I had to call back in.
Well, you're back on.
Terrific. What was the question?
My question to you was kind of ties in. Could you give us a little bit of a short history of how the Democratic Party kind of ended the losing streak in the community? I know she was super delicate about it. But how did the will of the people out what did this look through the people's party?
Well, you summarized it well yourself, DB. What it boils down to is the 68 convention was a tremendous wake-up call in terms of the change in the culture and the desire for the people to take back their power. Then there were a couple of presidents who won their nomination, the popular nomination, notably McGovern and, of course, Carter, who did go all the way to the White House but didn't manage to get elected twice. I think for these reasons, and probably others, but specifically those, the powers that be at the time decided to entrench their power by creating this completely anti-democratic, quote-unquote, super delegate. I don't think Superman would agree with that term in use on this topic. But now we have the system that you see where, for example, Howard Dean feels free to say with impunity, and he's not the only one, I don't represent anyone. I'll do what I think is best for the country. So not only have they been empowered, they know how powerful they are. And when people talk about what's going to happen at the convention and the possibility that supers could decide the nominee, it's very real.
And they
and that's
have
another part of. Oh, tell me.
Well, I know for instance that they've been able to. Wow, I'm getting way too much feedback. I can't even hear what's going on.
We're gonna have to
try to come back, both of us.
He's not the only one. I don't represent anyone. I'll do what that's the instruction. Call back in. They know how powerful they are. And when people talk about what's going to happen, hello.
All right. I think we are back on the air. Hopefully I'm back with Elle.
I'm here.
Okay, awesome. We've been trying to talk getting into the wrap-up of this primary election cycle that, you know, people will make such light of it, but it's so important because, let's face it, we're still two-party system. Maybe this is the year that that changes, but until that does, it's very important who's running for one of these two, of course, corporate figureheads that, since Reagan, literally have been just destroying the middle class. And finally, maybe there's a candidate that won't. Maybe there's, a candidate that could possibly start a war we have to avoid at all costs. And there's a candidate that's an incompetent. And really, he's run a fortune into the ground and only been fortunate enough to have another fortune fall into his lap. So, I mean, that's where we're at. And it's extremely important until we break our two-party system up. Do you agree, Elle?
DD, I have to admit that I'm still a believer in democracy, not this trampled version that we're living under now, the disarray of which is falling down around all of our ears. I feel passionately that should we elect Senator Sanders, we'll have grasped a unique opportunity to change the system from within. And I want to mention again here that the outreach of Open the Primary to the voters is very hands-on and very urgent. What we're calling for is not only a letter-writing campaign to Padilla through our website, which is www.opentheprimary.org. We're taking these petitions in person to the upcoming California rallies. We had a volunteer out there today dealing with a crowd of 20,000 collecting signatures for this cause, but it is far bigger than one volunteer can handle. We need teams of four. There are two rallies coming up tomorrow. One's at 11:30 in Palo Alto. The second is at 5 p.m. in Santa Cruz. I hope to use this opportunity to be heard, and thank you for presenting it as difficult as it has been so far, to call directly, to appeal directly to California voters who are attending those rallies or maybe are undecided about those rallies. We need you. This is literally a team effort, and I am calling you personally, whoever is listening, to join this team. If you feel that Senator Sanders presents us a unique opportunity for change from within, if you believe any other candidate in the race would be a disastrous result, I challenge you to put your money where your mouth is. I'm not talking about $27. I'm talking about pinging us at our website, emailing me directly at opentheprimaryoutlook.com. Raise your hand up and say, yes, I will take your petition. I will print it out. I will make four sets. I will get three friends. I can tell you additionally that you will be reimbursed for your costs of printing, for your clipboards, for your pens. That much I can do from here. But I need you, California, whoever might be listening, to deeply engage with this. Recognize that the path to victory is only getting narrower. There is no guarantee because we know that the game is rigged and the rules are being changed midway through. The national convention is in fewer than 60 days. If we don't get Senator Sanders there with the momentum he needs to contest it, and I think we all understand momentum means winning California and winning it big, there's no telling what's going to happen. They are determined to ram Hillary down our throats, and they are succeeding. It's time to put skin in the game if you haven't yet. And I don't mean your paycheck. I mean showing up, doing this work, helping to unite the voters in a defensive action, not only for California, but for voting rights in general. This is Memorial Day. When you think about those who have given their lives for our rights, voting rights is the key. And it can be given, and it can be taken away. And believe it or not, it's being taken away right now. It's only going to get harder to fight this fight, and if we get the wrong person in the top job for the next 4 years, or God forbid, eight, I don't want to think about what our democracy will look like, what version of it we'll be living under.
Yeah, and I know we've had discussions about how the militarization of the police state could actually see the ugly head of it turn and its gaze be pointed at protesters should they show up at the Democratic National Convention coming up in Philadelphia, because it's very possible it'll be contested. It'll probably be contested by the public, even if it's not an official contested contest. But then again, he may just completely roll her over, and especially if we can get this California thing going for Bernie, it could become a contested convention, and that's really what we want. I mean, the Republicans smartly decided they were just going to let popular opinion, you know, let that become the party platform, and because of it, they have a loyal base. And what the DNC did was alienate all the youth, alienate all the people that didn't want to be conservatives, didn't want to be the neocon Hillary type of Democrat, and wanted to kind of be a true progressive, somebody that would follow somebody that believes the environment needs to be fixed, the economy is completely screwed, and the game is so rigged beyond belief that eventually we're going to have a societal breakdown of sorts because so many people can't make it on the current economy. What do you think about all that?
Well, I certainly can agree that in the past, say, 7 or 8 years, I'm from California, and pretty much everyone I knew was on what we believed to be the right track, starting careers, continuing careers, buying homes, starting families, and without exception, everyone I knew who was on that trajectory up in 2007-2008 is now on that trajectory down. Radical changes, houses lost, families broken up, careers ended, and now guess what they get to do at the age of 30, 35, 40, 45? Deliver pizza, drive Uber. It's not a coincidence. But I wanted to touch back on your use of the word rigging, because that is the word for what is happening, and it's not as malevolent a word as it should be. You know, cheating, stealing, unfairly taking, there's a lot of ways to say it, but the point I want to emphasize in terms of the action that we're trying to accomplish with Open the Primary, specifically in addition to having Padilla set aside those election codes, there are two other things we're asking him for. The first is to allow all ballots be write-in, meaning it doesn't matter which ballot you get, you can just use your penmanship to write down your choice, and what that necessitates is the third request that we're making. And it's critical if you recognize the fact that the voting machines cannot be trusted. A write-in ballot means a hand count. It's our argument that the $16 million that were made available April 29th by Governor Brown for, quote, costs of the primary would be more than adequate to create a completely transparent and accountable counting, hand counting of the vote. So with these three requests, they are very specific, and they are targeted in every way to preserve the integrity of the voters in California. What you want to say will, in fact, be heard, and your vote will be counted. There'll be no machine that can be with the flip of a switch or the installation of anything. There'll be no way for a machine to disempower your vote. So we're trying to not only engage people to participate and to the extent of defending the vote, we want them to understand what we're asking for. It's necessary. And if Padilla is a reasonable man, he's a father, we can't imagine he doesn't understand the necessity of these changes.
And one thing I would really like to bring up, because the voting machines really are a way to circumvent democracy at its core, a technocrat's wet dream, if you will. I remember in Hacking Democracy, they went over how the Diebold system could be easily hacked and no one would know. You could essentially make it look like nobody was in the system, covering your own tracks. And because it could get done at an individual level of each machine, there was no trace on the internet. Could you go into that a little bit? Because I know you did some heavy research into Diebold.
I don't want to claim heavy research into Diebold. What I'm aware of is what was presented in that documentary, which is crystal clear and extremely damning. I can tell you the result of that documentary was that Diebold has changed their name to ESS. I can further tell you that the New York Board of Elections used exclusively ESS machines. I don't call that a coincidence.
No, and Diebold, if I'm not mistaken, also has quite nefarious history, you know, Nazi related and things like that, not to get completely off track, but I think we're talking about people that have been essentially running the world into the ground for the last 7 decades, and they may change the name of their corporations and their heirs may have different last names through marriage, but the agenda stayed the same. I mean, it's just keeping the people down, turning them basically into labor.
Well, certainly I can't argue with the sort of the heart of your remark, which is that the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and that is not a mistake. That is strategic. I certainly can agree with that. I don't have any personal knowledge or research about where Diebold came from as a company. What I do know is that they changed their name but not their approach, and they're used now as they were used then, despite, or, you know, let's say because of what an effective tool they are.
Exactly. I mean, it is a subterfuge, and it's putting a blindfold over a very gullible populace that really believes that these methods that are inherently fallible wouldn't, you know, somehow make something like a George Bush beating an Al Gore by the hair of a thin thread in Florida as a direct result of this kind of, you know, nefarious behavior. What I want to get back to now is kind of getting around this technocracy or this techno kind of fascism that they're attempting to use on the people. You know, we're an armed nation. I'd never really think the military is going to storm down our streets. I don't think anything insane like that's ever going to happen. But I can see people being manipulated and conned by the system and trapped by it so much that basically we lose our voice and our rights. I think the step backwards to going to signing paper ballots at events with 30, 40, 50,000 signatures would have a massive, massive effect, because it's taking it old school. It's making it real people, and you can't fake it.
Well, certainly. There's two things you brought up that I want to touch on. The first is the Supreme Court of the year 2000 and their selection of a president. My research and our original strategy was predicated upon the California Constitution. I encourage anyone listening to this to go to www.opentheprimary.org and click on the link to the Constitution. When you do, you'll see Article 2. It's not written in Latin. It's written in English. And what it says is, legislature shall provide an open presidential primary. Now, we've had that looked at by attorneys, we've had that looked at by elections experts, we've had that looked at by poli-sci professors, and nobody can say open means anything but open. So feel empowered by that. Try to get in touch with that, anyone who might be listening. Realize that the truth is still there. Now, what's been laid on top of it, to get back to the Supreme Court of the year 2000, briefly to rewind, in 1996, California voters passed Prop 198. Prop 198 reopened the primary. Now, why they had to do that when the Constitution is crystal clear is outside of my frame of research. And I've become, let's say, dedicated to these topics only in the context of this election. So I won't pretend to know what happened to Article 2. I do know that Prop 198 was passed. And I further know that the Supreme Court was the only court, because the State Democratic Party of California took this case for three courts. And the first two said, no, we're upholding Prop 198. The Supreme Court of that era, on the other hand, decided that an open primary was infringing upon the First Amendment rights of the State Democratic Party of California. By so ruling, they empowered California state legislature of that era, and the governor of that era was Gray Davis. They empowered them to write a bill, Senate Bill 28. Now, if you understand anything about Senate Bill 28 and the terminology of it, you understand this is not something that the people voted on. The Senate voted on it. They passed in one day Senate Bill 28, unanimously. So what Senate Bill 28 did was disenfranchise and suppress every California voter, because it's not just about no party preference, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican. It's about who do I think would be best suited to this job outside of party affiliation. With Senate Bill 28, California state legislature took that right away. And it's worth mentioning they spent 4 years and who knows how much taxpayer money to get that judgment.
And
three tries.
Was this by any means a rider on the Affordable Care Act in any way?
That's outside my frame of reference, but I could only say given the era, I think not. What I'm talking about took place in 1996 with Prop 198 and then 2000 with the Senate Bill 28.
Gotcha.
Affordable Care Act came far after, yeah.
And what happened with the 2012? What was essentially the ruling, or how do they basically circumvent a totally open primary of 2012 to what we have now, which is this semi-open debauchery?
Semi-open is bastardization. I mean, modified closed, semi-open, semi-modified closed. It means closed. And I'm sorry. Ask again. I got derailed by that detail.
Oh, sure. What exactly was the process that was used to essentially make it, you know, at least a way they could legally defend going from a totally open primary to this, you know, modified open from 2012 to 2016? What is their reason behind it, and how do they defend that?
Well, the reason behind it is because this is what they want. They want to control the outcome. And their defense of it is cloaked in a lot of really confusing language. They create the illusion of choice, again, with this, okay, re-register. By the way, did you know you have to re-register? Oh, you didn't re-register? Okay, why don't you just ask for a different ballot on the day? Yeah. 4 million of you? Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. In terms of what happened in 2012, my research shows that the no-party preference, which I think at that time they were declined to state voters. I might be wrong on that, but there was a different term used. And that group of people managed to circumvent, just for that one election, as far as I know, the limitation of party. And they actually got ballots that had candidates from different parties listed. And it's obvious that that was done away with by some sort of legislative maneuver. Certainly the people did not vote against their own right to choose. I do know that in, I think, 2010, there was, don't quote me, Prop 14, which was a very trickily worded proposition written by state legislature, which created the illusion of opening the elections with the exception of the presidential primary. And if you look at the codes that are linked on www.opentheprimary.org, you'll see where they contradict themselves. And they contradict themselves because the rules have been changed from year to year to year, but always with the same intent: separate us from democracy, to give us less democracy, and to disempower the voter.
Just awful, awful stuff. I mean, is there anything going forward that we can see openthepromary.org morphing into? Now, once this 6 days passes, and hopefully we get Padilla to get enough basically correspondence to, you know, get off its butt and actually make this an open primary and a full write-in and, you know, basically bend to the will of the people. I don't know how many emails were out or how many hundreds or hopefully multiple hundreds of emails that have been sent, and hopefully many hundreds more will be sent now as a result of people hearing this. But, you know, once we get this pressure on, where does openthepromary.org go, and what is going to be the rundown going into the Democratic National Convention? Because, you know, this contested situation could really open some doors, and at the same time it could be destructive to people's voice if half of the people get shut out of this party.
Briefly, I don't know what's going to happen at the convention, but if I tell you what's in my intuition, it's that what we saw in 1968 – it's going to be much worse. Those cops, there was a police riot at the Democratic National Convention in 68. And those police people were using billy clubs. These cops are militarized. And my sense is that the rage and dismay that's sweeping this country and the people who are going to the convention, I mean, hashtag see you in Philly is gigantic. Not all of them are going to behave themselves or understand the rules or abide by any cockamamie rules when we see the kind of thing we saw at the Nevada convention, or when we know that the Democratic Party is trying to rewrite the rules even as we speak to disempower any kind of protest in a convention. Can you imagine a rule in a democracy that says you cannot hold a sign to indicate your feeling about this event? That is the kind of rule.
Or you have to be in a free speech zone.
Yeah, I thought it was America.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the new America with the K. But anyway.
But the other thing I want to emphasize, DB, is that, yes, we do have the letter writing campaign. You can just click copy and paste on the site, www.opentheprimary.org. that is not the focus of this action at this point. As the days have been winding down and our research has been ongoing, we've been reacting in real time to the changes of what's been happening. For example, this was originally a nonpartisan call. Any voter anywhere, raise your voice, defend the vote. Time is running out. Time has run out to appeal to a nonpartisan base or even a nationwide movement. Our focus right now is getting volunteers with our petitions to the upcoming rallies. As I said, there are two tomorrow, one at 10:30 in Palo Alto, one at 5 p.m. in Santa Cruz. What's going to make this work is when people personally and deeply engage with this idea. It is outside the box, but it is not radical. It is based in law and interpretation of law, but its heart is in public outcry. We are looking for engagement and empowerment in participants in this action. It has a lifespan of a week. We'll know in a week whether or not we got the kind of momentum needed. That's only going to happen at the rallies. That is where the energy is. That is where the numbers are. I'm calling again specifically to anyone hearing this who may be planning on those two rallies tomorrow, who knows about a rally coming up this week, to get in touch with me at OpenThePrimary@Outlook.com. Raise your hand. I can't express to you the work that's gone into this project on this side. We have a tiny team of volunteers. It is the definition of grassroots. It has been birthed out of passion and extra long hours and extra hard work and learning curves that I won't go into, but it has to do with, oh, how does the internet work? How do you make a website? Let me go ahead and try to understand the legislative maneuvers that have gone on for almost 20 years. All of that is worth nothing, despite your kind invitation to be on this show, unless people listening grab it and run with it. And I don't mean tomorrow, I mean tonight. Email me tonight. Are you in Palo Alto? Are you Palo Alto adjacent? Are you in Santa Cruz? Are you Santa Cruz adjacent? I have got a petition for you to print out. I have a request for you to make 4 copies of all 10 pages and to get 4 clipboards and a bunch of pens. Grab 3 friends, because it can't be strangers. You have to be able to circle back and get the signatures at the end. We need teams on the ground of people who understand that there's a complete legitimacy to this and an importance to it. Time is quite literally running out.
And you never know. You may actually bump into someone going to a rally that is not registered and does not even know that they're going to show up to this vote and not have a vote. And they're not going to know what's going on. So spread the awareness. I mean, these rallies coming up, I'm checking on the website to try to see what other events are coming up. There's literally hundreds of events. I'm not talking about, you know, that's not an exaggeration. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of events in the Bay Area. They're getting super pumped for what's going on. We can say this is the last gasp of what we know is democracy, and if we do not defend it, something worse will come down the road and we're not going to like what we see. And we know this will come if we don't do something about it. We're going to have to deal with it now, hopefully with our voices. Possibly maybe we can get to the streets and block the economy, stop commerce, you know, something like that could happen at the DNC in Philly. If we could shut Philly down somehow, Philly's a big port city and it's important. Maybe people will pay attention that a party that's, you know, historically, at least as far as me and you, within our lifetime, has been, you know, supposed to be a champion of the workers, a champion of the disenfranchised and the poor. And they've just morphed into this neocon kind of dualism with the Republicans. Now the Tea Parties are crackpots or whatever, and then we have the own left side of, you know, crazy people that are, you know, way, way in denial. We can call them the Hill Bots or whatever you want to call them. But it's so crazy that we're having a staggering split in the two parties, so much so that there's going to be 4, 5, 6 possible parties coming up. And it's very, very important that we get a consensus going forward, or naturally cracks begin and splits form.
Well, you're absolutely right, DB. Of course, I don't know the future, but what I can say is that this effort and what this effort presents that I believe is unique is that it is purely grassroots and it calls for engagement on a specific topic. At this moment, the focus is opening the primary. There will be a next phase to this concept. It's under discussion now, but we certainly have had at least a few hundred people raise their hands and say, I am in. Help me, help you, help me, help all of us. There will be more to come. Something worth mentioning is that the thousands of engaged Bernie volunteers who've been phone banking, canvassing, etc., there's going to be a void in activity once all the states have voted between now and the convention. There will be a month or more of no more of that. What we're looking to do is to collaborate on filling that void with something proactive, positive, empowering, and organic. Some of the discussions that are being had have to do with aiming to swing some of the superdelegates. This is a hot topic, a hashtag, I'm sure. We have research that shows that a third of them, approximately, are also in elected office. They themselves are seeking re-election. That is leverage that has not been tapped into, so far as we know. That's just one of the ideas that we're going to try to keep this momentum going with after June 7th.
If only we could somehow find a way to stop the revolving door when these guys do get out of office and go work at Monsanto or something. I mean, if only we could do that. But, I mean, wishful thinking. We got to start where we can. We got to put pressure on these guys. I mean, I'm sure it would be better for them to stay in government where they're going to keep getting kickbacks and building on a pension than having to work in the real world, even if it is a cushy corporate job at some giant 500 company. You know, that's the one thing we kind of have to – it's an uphill battle in that way, in that the machine kind of scratches its own back so well that it's kind of hard to, you know, affect a lot of these people's livelihoods and really, you know, possibly make them think twice. But at the same time, nobody wants to be called out. Nobody wants to be called out for not representing us and, you know, having the reputation smeared. I mean, the list goes on.
DB, I want to jump back in. Certainly, I agree. I mean, obviously, it's a matter of money versus numbers, and we have the numbers. But what I want to emphasize again is trying to get people engaged with this urgent activism before this program is over. Anyone who's listening, I invite you to also join us on Facebook at Open the Primary. That's a place where we're creating memes and other media for quick sharing across platforms. We're on Twitter as well. At Open the Primary. That's another place where we can connect and share information. What's very clear is that this is going to live or die by how many people know about it. And that doesn't just mean coming to the website, www.opentheprimary.org, and taking part in the click and paste activism. That doesn't just mean raising your hand and saying, I am going to the rally. I will take care of this petition. Me and my three best friends are there anyway. It's going to happen. It's also coming to the group on Facebook or on Twitter, Open the Primary is the name of both, grabbing the information, grabbing the mission, and disseminating it like wildfire. One of the things we've been fighting against, given how small our team is and how quickly things have happened, is just getting the word out. Because this is probably a perfect moment to thank you for allowing us to come on this program, to reach as many as we could in the context of this hour, and try to imbue them with a sense of passion and possibility and probability if we get the numbers needed in a quick time, in a quick turnaround. This can happen, but it only happens if people listening engage with it. Don't like it. Do it. Open the primary.
Are there any needs going forward for the team? Are there any skills or people that have certain things they can do that you would like to have available to you to volunteer?
Absolutely. And the simple answer is literally anything. If you're willing to come on board as an actual teammate creating media, awesome. If you have skills as a video maker, thank you. If you're a blogger with a following, we need you. But even if you're not established in those ways or don't have those skills, just spreading the word, and not just spreading it but endorsing it, it's that personal touch that makes a difference. Anyone who's done phone banking knows that a lot of the power of that is in your personal time being spent to spread the word. That's the kind of energy and urgency we're trying to tap into with this. Own it. Understand it. There is nothing off the wall about what we propose or suggest. It is specific. It is researched. It is based in logic. But it doesn't live unless you believe it, and take part.
People have to breathe life into taking back the ability to essentially affect the political process. Because right now, I think I just read a report that said 70% of all Americans have never actually even attended a political function. I mean, they might have voted once or twice, but they don't have any idea what the inner workings are. They don't know how to participate, and they've given up on that aspect. So 30%. And then when you look at the voter turnout being 20 to 30% of the population, I mean, we're talking about a minority of people that aren't necessarily millionaires and billionaires making all of the rules.
Well, there's a nuance to that as well, because I don't know if you knew that. Sorry.
That's our cue, Elle. That's our cue, Elle. So thank you so much for being on. Everybody check out our article on Mint Press News. She also had a one on the anti-media in January.
www.opentheprimary.org, at Open the Primary on Twitter, Open the Primary on Facebook.
Thank you, Elle. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, DB. Yo, here we go.